And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Let me jump on this stuff. So Dipper number one, the Russia collusion illusion. Let's talk about it for a minute. Let me set the stage for this. Why does it matter?
Oh, Phil, that was like years ago, wasn't it? I mean, aren't we done with all that? I don't want to bring all that up again. Well, you gotta.
That's like saying we don't ever want to talk about the 2020 election again. Why would we not? I mean, we are still talking about it. Why? Because we don't want to repeat the process. We're also still talking about it because it was wrong. I mean, the things that were done during the 2020, and liberals will say, that's been debunked. Has it really? Has it? Can you tell me that everything was normal? Can you tell me everything was above board? Well, it was COVID. Shut up. It was just, that's a sorry excuse. COVID became the excuse for everything. I cheated on my wife. It was COVID. I mean, I robbed a bank. It was COVID. I mean, come on. At some point, you look at it and go, stop. You don't get to use a virus as your excuse for the breakdown of all things good and normal. But they did. And they tried to abuse the opportunity to literally say that everything in the world could be done different during the 2020 election because of COVID. And, you know, what there really was because of Trump, they were scared. How dare he come down that golden escalator and actually, like, win the election in 2016? Yep. And they couldn't let that happen again. But then he did. He was winning. And so they had to do what they could to dismantle it. Well, one of the things they had done as a prelude to that was in the wake of the 2016 election. In the wake of the 2016 election, which, by the way, I want to think back. I want to paint you a picture of the people that were trying to be in charge. I mean, you just saw 4 years of Biden, right? But keep in mind what we would have had before him. It was Hillary. Oh, my gosh. What a foul person. What an awful individual with no leadership talent whatsoever. She's a bully. She is an opportunist. I mean, think about this. She's the wife of the former president who believed that she was owed the opportunity to be in charge. So what did she do? Out of nowhere, she moved to New York just so she could run for Senate. Chappaqua, New York. Bought a mansion. Why would we do that? Well, I'm running for Senate. Oh, you get to just show up here and run for Senate? Apparently so, under New York state law. Well, that's interesting. So they did. Talk about an opportunist, and then she ran for Senate, and with less than one term in, she wanted to run for president. Wow. Yeah, how'd that work out? That's the person who, by the way, when the results became clear that Donald Trump had prevailed, late at night, with all of her followers out there at the big event and the balloons and the music and the rented venue space and all the things, she would not even come out to see them because that's the kind of person she is. She didn't come out and address her followers who had done everything and broken their backs trying to get her in office. She just slunk into a back room and went into a fit and was like just like ready to just dissemble somebody. Complete meltdown. Couldn't come out and see people. That's not a leader, because a leader could stand up under stress, and she apparently couldn't. However, one of the things that did happen was those that had the authority or the ability, maybe I should put it, to do certain things decided to take matters into their own hands. And so one of the things that happened was the invention of the Russia narrative collusion. The Russia collusion illusion is what I'm calling it. Let me read to you just an opening line here in what just came out this past Friday. I take this directly off the Director of National Intelligence personal website, dni.gov. This is a statement that was released about the information that is new and involving the highest levels of leadership and intelligence in the United States right after Trump won the election, but before Trump took office. It says, the information we are releasing today, this is past Friday, the information we are releasing today clearly shows there was a treasonous conspiracy in 2016 committed by officials at the highest level of our government. Their goal was to subvert the will of the American people and enact what was essentially a years-long coup with the objective of trying to usurp the president from fulfilling the mandate bestowed upon him by the American people. So yes, if you find out about it 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or in this case, just a few years from when it occurred, you don't let it lay. you investigate it, because those same people are still out there. Those same people are still being called upon to be pundits. Those same people, by the way, some of whom were the ones who issued the infamous Hunter Biden's laptop, there's nothing to see here memo. Those same people were campaigning for Kamala Harris. Those same people were working in the Biden administration. I mean, I can name names and tell you who we're talking about here. I mean, you're looking at Susan Rice. She was a top advisor to Biden through most of his last term. John Kerry. Well, you know about that guy. He was the climate czar for Biden. Loretta Lynch, Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, James Clapper, and Barack Obama. We're all in a meeting that I'll tell you more about in just a few minutes that clearly establish that everything changed after that meeting. There was a narrative that was in one way, based upon actual intelligence, that became geared an entirely different way after a meeting that occurred in the White House on December 9th, 2016, 1 month after Trump was elected and prior to him being sworn in. They did it so they could lay the groundwork for how they could attack him for the next 4 years. And we as a nation had to put up with it. We as a nation spent $40 million just on the Mueller investigation of the Russia collusion hoax. We as a nation put up with constant haranguement by the left and the media pundits and the people who were absolutely dead set sure that Trump had colluded in some way with Russia in order to get elected. I mean, it was galling. And they put us through that because they could care less about this nation. What they cared about was power. And what they cared about was the opportunity for what Tulsi Gabbard just called a treasonous conspiracy committed at the highest levels of our government to subvert the will of the American people and enact what was essentially a years-long coup. I got more on this, y'all. And y'all, I'm telling you right now, this is a big story. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already on a Meatloaf Monday. Hour number two. Where'd hour one go? Apparently it went down the road of talking about open range for quite a while.
Yeah, cowboy movies and Russia collusion all in 1 hour.
Cowboy movies, Russia collusion, and Green Berets all in 1 hour. That's a heck of an hour, man, only on Right Side Radio. By the way, I will say this. Thank you to all of you who were supportive of the fact that I got called upon and flown to New York City to be on CNN's Newsnight with Abby Phillip. That was last week? That was last week, wasn't it?
A week from tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a week. Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Anyway, I was there last week.
6 days ago,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, thank you. But yeah, great time. Had an amazing time doing that. Apparently I didn't screw up too bad because they just got me scheduled for 4 more events up there. So I'm heading up to New York City off and on for the next month.
That can't be good for your health. I'm sorry. To go to CNN that much.
It's, you know what? Man's got to do what a man's got to do.
I guess so.
Jumping into a hot LZ, man. That's all I'm doing. Okay, let me get a few text messages and jump back on the... So Dave from Madison says, now that the truth is coming out about the campaign against Donald Trump, I hope we don't forget Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's role in this whole process, no doubt. Not only is it against UCMJ to go against the commander-in-chief, but he should face criminal charges for his part in the whole scheme. Yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean, that one man right there was solely responsible for the fact that we had to sit through a Pelosi impeachment circus. It was crazy. I heard the phone call. It was very scary. I just think I ought to tell somebody. Cheese. That's just pure cheese. All right, so let me jump on the topic we're at hand, though. The Russia collusion illusion. Before the break at the top of the hour, I gave you the background on this. Let me explain the flow. So I want you guys to, listen, when you're having those water cooler conversations, when you're talking to your friends at Sunday school, when somebody at work says, what's all this about Russia again? You're going to be the expert, all right? Here you go. Here's the deal. Trump was elected, freaked everybody out on the left side. Hillary Clinton's having a complete bipolar meltdown. Nobody knows what to do. Oh my gosh, Trump came down the escalator and actually won. That was in November 2016. And on December 7th, here's the schedule. Because what we know now, let me back up. Director of National Intelligence is Tulsi Gabbard. Director of National Intelligence has access to documents then and things which had been, for lack of a better term, suppressed. Suppressed and or modified and discarded. Why? Because there's a thing called the political manipulation of intelligence. Taking something that is out there and manipulating it and pretending that your politics made it true. Either that or you're doing it just purely for fraud. Well, what we have now is what's known as a manufactured batch of intelligence. November 2016, Trump wins the election. In November of 2016, also, here's a quote, the intelligence community consistently had assessed that Russia is, quote, probably not trying to influence the election by using cyber means. Probably not trying. You get that? There's documented evidence at the DNI's disposal, now that she can root through the files, now that she can open all the drawers, now that she can reach in the file cabinet, now that she can turn on the computers, she says, we have documents now that show that leading up to the election, the intelligence assessments were that Russia was not influencing the election. December 7th of 2016, Trump's just been elected. He has not been sworn in yet. Obama is still in office. December 7th of 2016, talking points were prepared for James Clapper, who was the DNI at the time. His talking points said, and they're still in the files because she found them, quote, foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential outcome. All right, that's point number two. Russia was not involved. Russia was not involved. Russia was not involved. That was December 7th of 2016. But on December 9th of 2016, what we know now is that President Obama gathered up his top National Security Council. That was James Clapper, the DNI. That was John Brennan, the director of CIA. That was Susan Rice, National Security Advisor. That was John Kerry, Loretta Lynch, and Andrew McCabe, all for the purpose of discussing Russia at the White House. Why would you do that? I thought all your assessments said no Russia. Ain't no Russia. Ain't no Russia nowhere. We got no Russia. All God's children got no Russia. Until December 9th of 2016, they had a meeting in the White House. After that meeting, DNI James Clapper went back to his office and tasked his staff, we know now, with creating a new intelligence assessment, quote, this is the quote, per the president's request, that details, quote, tools that Moscow used and actions it took to influence the 2016 election. It went on to say, the director of national intelligence will lead the effort with participation from CIA, FBI, NSA, and DHS. What does that tell you? That all the members of that meeting sat there and they walked out with their marching orders. And the assessments that had said no Russia to that point suddenly began to say Russia after that meeting. Why would they do this? Well, they would do this because it gave them an opportunity to attack for the next 4 years. They needed a front on which to go after. They knew what they were about to see was an overthrow of the policies. They were also scared to death of the idea that some of them might wind up in jail. They were worried about what was going to happen. And they really needed to defeat the narrative that said that Trump was going to be a successful president. If nothing else, they were going to tear down the man just to get back to the office. And for 4 years, y'all, we endured it. It was one hammer blow after another. On January 6th of 2017, after that meeting in December, a new intelligence community assessment was released that directly contradicted all the prior ones. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Everything's no Russia until Trump's elected. And all of a sudden, oh my God, what are we going to do? I don't know, but I'm still saying no Russia. Everybody in for a meeting, please. That's December. Everybody got your marching orders? Good. New orders come out. Hey, per the president, we're putting together a new assessment. We need to find Russia. In January, it came out. Trump was not in office yet. So in January, a new intelligence assessment says Russia. The facts now reveal, says Tulsi Gabbard, this new assessment was based on information that was known by those involved to have been manufactured using things like the Steele dossier that had been otherwise deemed not credible. It was politicized intelligence. It was designed to delegitimize President Trump's victory. It was designed to give us things like a 4-year-long or 3-year-long Mueller investigation. It was designed to help with the mood towards 2 congressional impeachments. Tulsi Gabbard has been making the rounds. So this came out Friday. This is brand spanking new. This all came out just in the last few days. Things that you and I are sitting around going, well, we know it, we know it, we know it. We just can't see it, but we know it's there. Guess what? You can see it now. You can. And we're not talking about rumor has it. We're talking about literally documentation discovered by the DNI showing what the assessments were until they weren't. And they all began to change right after. And the quote was in one of the memorandums, per the president's request, to detail the tools that Moscow used. Well, I thought we said there were no tools. There's tools. Now go find the tools. Okay. And that's what they did. Listen, we get back from this break. I'm going to tell you, I got an audio clip here. DNI Tulsi Gabbard talking about how serious this is. And the fact that we, apparently she says, now that people feel safe to do it, they're starting to see whistleblowers come out. Interesting. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, I'm saying pulling pins on truth grenades. That's where we are. So, yeah, I got a bunch of texts going on. I'll catch up with some of those here in a moment. I got to play you a clip real quick from Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard. By the way, the left is having a meltdown. The left is saying Tulsi Gabbard should not be allowed anywhere near intelligence documents. Why? Because you put her on the no-fly list? Maybe that was your mistake. Maybe you never should have done that. Keep in mind what we're talking about here. They're really worried because Tulsi Gabbard, the one who was put on the no-fly list, the one who had to leave her own party because they wouldn't give her the time of day, the one who was facing all kinds of just grief because she dared to call out Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying. And by the way, JP, a bit of trivia for you. Pray tell, do you know what connection Tulsi Gabbard has with Northeast Alabama?
Didn't she train here?
She did.
I'm not sure which space specifically, but I think
I tell you that.
Either you or I heard it somewhere. I don't know which base specifically.
She did. She got her commission as an Army officer at the National Guard Training Center at Fort McClellan, where she went through OCS.
How about that?
Just a little trivia. But hey, Tulsi Gabbard did a interview this week, and she made the rounds, but she did an interview particularly with Maria Bartiromo on Fox. And here's a few things that she had to say. Go ahead and play it.
Implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our Democratic Republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting President of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia neither had the intent nor the capability to try to, quote unquote, hack the United States election for the presidency of the United States. So the...
All right, I want to break it there a second. It's a little bit long, so we're going to come back to it and finish it out. But listen, what she's describing here is a scandal. I think one of the most dangerous times for the United States is the time between one party getting ousted in an election and being able to take office. Because at that point, there's all the possibilities happening where the authority and the responsibility and the power is still vested in the person who knows that their side lost. The left, you saw Biden pardoning everybody in the world, including his family, during that time frame. You saw Obama doing this. I think what we're looking at right now is the potential that this and the auto pen are going to wind up being two of the biggest scandals in modern political history. We're talking about Watergate-level stuff if all this pans out. Now, will it go there? I don't know yet. Let's keep playing it.
Effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
I mean, that's it. That's really what it boils down to. It was an effort to subvert the integrity of the office, to make it seem as if the sentiments of sweeping him into power were the last thing people really would want now, because it was just kind of all fake. It was a conspiracy. It's not real. You've been duped, didn't you know? It destroys confidence. It has a chilling effect upon the ability of the president to get things done. It damages his ability to be the top of the ticket to endorse people who are running for, you know, congressional or Senate races or whatever else. Well, listen, Tulsi Gabbard also said on Sunday Morning Futures that this was not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that's so serious it ought to concern every single American because it has to do with the integrity of our Democratic Republic. She also said that there are whistleblowers that are now coming out. We're seeing whistleblowers come out, she says. And I got a piece here from Red State. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. She says that the implications of this are nothing short of historic. Like she said a moment ago, over 100 documents have been released. But she goes on to say that the whistleblowers are beginning to come out of the woodwork. And I think part of that is because they finally feel free to do so. She says, I will do all that I can get. Gabbard responded when she was asked about whether or not there's going to be people referred for criminal charges. She said, I will do all that I can, and we have whistleblowers, Maria, coming forward now after we release those documents, because there are people who were around who are working in the intelligence community who were so disgusted by what happened, and we're starting to see some of them coming out of the woodwork here because they too, like you and I and the American people, want to see justice delivered. I will tell you this. The reason why this could go on further is because Tulsi Gabbard has now officially referred it to the Department of Justice. Now, had she just launched it and made a story, that'd be different. But she didn't. She launched it, and then she officially referred it to the Department of Justice for investigation. What does that mean? That means it just became a legal matter. That means it's potentially a violation of 18 U.S. Code 1001, lying under oath, putting out false intelligence reports. Convictions for something like this could lead to like several years in prison. Daily Wire has a piece, Dateline, yesterday that says that House Republicans are demanding that there be Obama-Russia hoax arrests. And just to go ahead and add fuel to the fire, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Donald Trump decided to put out a Truth Social with a video of Barack Obama being arrested in the Oval Office. I mean, there's trolling, and then there's Trump trolling, and Trump trolling is on the next level. You got something?
I was just going to say, like, it's hard for, like, this is all stuff I feel like we like on the right knew already.
Yeah.
It's hard for me. I guess I'm in the boat of I want to see arrest, and it's hard for me to get it. I just don't want this to become just political theater, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like part of me is like, okay, well, that's cool. Y'all got evidence and all, but almost like I'm going to care when we see people in handcuffs sort of mode. And I don't want it to be just a post video to troll Obama and I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but part of me is like, okay, people are never held accountable for stuff like this. And it's just hard for me to get my hopes up, if that makes sense.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. It's reality. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get your hopes up because yes, it feels like some of these people wind up getting the constant level of untouchability that nobody else in the world is allowed to have. If you or I had a traffic ticket, we wouldn't be able to get out of it. But they can do something like this and too often get out of it. Representative Byron Donalds from Florida, who's also running to become governor in Florida after DeSantis leaves, says there needs to be arrest on this matter. People need to go to jail because this is about the republic. It's not about one president. It's about the presidency and the continuation of our country. If you can tear down an office by using the office to prevent other people from being effective in the office, then that's not democracy. That's literally power trying to install power. That's Game of Thrones crap right there. That's literally just House of Cards. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, man, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to what we call once again Fort Benning. And big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. All you radio folks, that's where you're all over the place like that. And then, oh, by the way, there's people out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show every single day, like right now. Looking inside the studio to see what we got going on places like Facebook and X and YouTube and Rumble and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh, by the way, all you podcasters, too, after the fact, we appreciate you. Listen, the bottom line is I say all that to say we have a bunch of folks, all you right side ruffians, that we care about. You're everywhere. You're all over the place. We thank you. You're the reason why we do what we do. It wouldn't be worth it if you weren't here. So thank you very much. I got to tell you, I got a bunch of texts I'm going to get to in a moment. If you want to text in what you think about this whole Russia collusion illusion narrative that we're seeing now, I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'd like to know where you stand on it. Let me ask you, where do you think it's going to go? So one of my concerns is that there won't be accountability. If this is true, it is not enough, certainly not enough, just to know that something happened. Not enough. Because if this is true, then it truly is people who are trying to destroy the office of the presidency. And like Byron Donald said, not just the president, Trump, but the office of the presidency itself. And that is beyond messed up. That is treasonous. So will there be accountability? I don't know. Some of you may be looking at it, and I know what's going to wind up happening. You're going to wind up having Democrats try to conflate this with the Epstein files. Oh, he'll release one but not the other because it benefits him. That's what's happening. No, it's two different things. And, okay, why do I say that? Here's another piece for those water cooler conversations. The Epstein files thing is not in Trump's hands. Only parts of it are. If you remember, big, huge chunks of it are bound up under court orders and sealed because of grand jury procedures. Grand jury testimony is considered to be sacred. It's not something that's allowed to get out unless a judge orders it to be released. And then other things that were under protective orders in the trials of Jeffrey Epstein, those are under seal for a purpose. And the judge knows because A, it could destroy the lives of victims, and B, it could destroy the lives of people who may not have done anything, but they are somehow considered to be in the mix, and their name merely coming out will create instant social media conjecture. So yes, Jeffrey Epstein stuff, there could well be more. I believe there probably is more. I also know there's things that they can't do. In fact, if you saw it right now, Trump ordered the DOJ to begin seeking out the means to release anything that could be, and one of the first things the DOJ had to do was petition the court to release the files. Because they don't have access to them. And it'll be a violation of a court order to release them if they did. That being said, what we're looking at now is different because these are documents that we were told didn't exist. These are documents that are intelligence summaries. These are documents that are related to memorandums internally in the executive branch, in the intelligence agencies and otherwise. These are things that are now able to be discovered because the right people got into office. They did everything they could to keep us from being in a place where we could find these things. And I would bet you they did a purge, and a lot of these things would not otherwise have been found, but you can only hide it so long. There's going to be metadata. There's going to be archive files. There's going to be mirror image files. There's going to be cloud-based files. There's going to be things on the CIPRNet, which is the secure internet, and the NIPRNet, which is the non-secure internet. You're going to find that somebody attached something to an email. There's going to be a piece in a drawer somewhere. There's going to be a paper copy nobody knew was still there and didn't go to the shredder. This stuff still exists. And for the last 150 days, it appears that Tulsi Gabbard has had her team looking through them. And they have found 100 pages of documented evidence of exactly what I described for the last half hour. What you got?
So I'm wondering, why didn't they do this in the first Trump administration? I mean, I don't know if it's they didn't have somebody who had the desire to actually go digging through it. I feel like they would have this evidence in the first Trump administration, would they not?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened is there were still, remember, they were dealing with deep state in the first Trump administration. Mm-hmm. They've gotten rid of some people since then.
And I love Tulsi Gabbard. I don't agree with her on a lot of stuff.
A lot of things, sure.
But this is a lane I fully trust her in.
I agree with that.
And she also has a bit of a, I wouldn't say like revenge thing, but she got run out of her own party by people like she's investigating right now. So I feel like that it makes me trust her even more.
Karma,
so
baby.
Maybe it took a Tulsi Gabbard to have some wherewithal to go do it. But I just, you know, the whole time I'm like, God, it would have been nice if they did this, you know, during the first Trump administration. But, you know, still, I'm glad they're doing it now.
I think now Tulsi declared herself a Republican, right?
I believe she at least left the Democratic Party. I don't know if she's joined the Republican, but I know she has left, yes.
I think there's a couple of things here. I think, number one, it being Tulsi Gabbard lends a measure of credibility because she's not a longtime political Republican operative, right? Mm-hmm. I think the other piece of this, though, is she does have a passion for it. I think the other piece of this is people don't recall she was a military intelligence officer.
Yep.
This is what she does.
She's still in the National Guard right now.
She is. She and she's also, I think, in there with a different level of authority, and they got rid of people. You know, they came in the door letting people go, getting rid of deep. I think they spent some time in the interim between the first and second Trump administrations identifying the names of people who needed to go pretty quick. And some of the people who were blocking things were no longer there to block things. And the blocking and tackling went away.
Yeah. And I mean, Tulsi even said she was at Charlie Kirk's Turning Point and did a speech, and she said something like along the lines that she sees some people complaining that some stuff hasn't been done yet. And she goes, all I'll say is we are still fighting the deep state at every turn, because this is an uphill climb, and they're throwing the kitchen sink to try to obstruct, you know, things, which I appreciate her being. I mean, obviously, she's not going to air out what those things are, but I appreciate her being transparent enough to be like, we're in this fight, like we're fighting it every day. So I just hope to see people in handcuffs, like I said earlier.
I think too, one of the things you're looking at is in Trump's administration, he didn't come in and fire people. In fact, he kept a lot of people believing that he had continuity and things were going to be fine. And then he realized that deep state was going to do all it could to be soul crushing, because they were vested in the idea of big government, and he was not big government. This time he came in and not just firing people and letting people, they see it across the board. Like the whole Department of Education may go away. Like, you know, everything at USAID went away. And I think this whole whistleblower thing is in part tied to people going, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want them waiting to find my name on a memo. I think I'll say something now.
Air cover's gone.
Air cover's gone. So yeah, this is a big deal, you guys. It really is. And I would say watch and wait and see. Will there be more? I think there's going to be more. She's already intoned that there's more. I think we're going to see another tranche of documents coming out sometime soon. Some of this stuff has to be declassified. It has to be officially reviewed for the potential for cross-pollination or for the ability or for the inability to retract after you've let it out, and it could damage, you know, sources or methods or capabilities. At some point, though, that becomes bunk, and you look at it and go, it's a memo. Release it. And that's what they're doing. They're literally putting things out there and making it such that the rest of the world gets to actually see the behind the scenes. So in summary, as we wrap this segment up, in summary, the Russia collusion illusion, Donald Trump got elected. Up until the point that he got elected, all intelligence assessments, which are in writing and still in the files, said no Russia collusion. Donald Trump gets elected in November of 2016. In December of 2016, you still had notes saying there's no Russia collusion. We don't see Russia collusion. Those were the intel assessments. December 9th of 2016, Barack Obama, who's still in office, calls in the entire national security team. You got Clapper and Comey and McCabe and Susan Rice and, you know, all of them. Whole cabal. Calls them into the White House on December 9th of 2016 to talk about Russia. Why would you do that if all the assessments said there's nothing there? We need something. We need something to work with. We got to have something to work with. 2 days after that, new memorandum discovered shows James Clapper directing people per the president's request, he said, to develop a new assessment of Russia involvement in the election. Oh, really? Why is it new? After the fact, You discovered something new? No, there's nothing new discovered. We just need to make sure we spin it correctly. That's where it worked out. Next thing you know, January of 2016, all still before Trump takes office, a new report comes out and suddenly it's Russia. This is gross. This is called destroying. They didn't care. You know what also aggravates me in part on this is they didn't care. You know, at some point you'd love to believe there's decorum and professionalism, and if you differ on politics, you'll still get up the next morning and go do the honorable thing that supports your position. And they can't. They don't care. They are willing to destroy lives. They could care less about the people who are in the way of their power. That's what really, I saw this in Montgomery. There's a deep state in the state too. Don't think there's not. Every state has their own version of a deep state. I saw people in Montgomery who could care less about what it did to someone's life as long as they got that bill passed, as long as they got that thing done, as long as they got that handoff, as long as they got the ability to get reelected. They could care less about somebody else's life. That's the gross piece, is that people like that with no ethics, no morals, no compunctions about ruining people's lives are willing to do it just to maintain power. Because, you know, it's not about the will of the people for them. That's why this last election has been so sweet. That's why it's been so gratifying. Because it's like, even if we don't get accountability on everything, well, by God, they still didn't win. I said it before and I'll say it again before we go to the break. In my opinion, there's probably nobody else who could have stood up under what they threw at him more capably than Donald Trump. He had the monetary resources to pay for the lawyers. He had the name ID to fight. He had a base to work with. He'd already been president once. And he certainly had a legacy of making hard decisions and sticking with them and firing people when he had to. And I'm telling you right now, that guy, listen, they ought to carve out a new piece of Mount Rushmore with his face on it just because of what all he went through to be allowed to be president twice. It should never be that way. But here we are. The Russia collusion illusion. Now you know all of it. We'll take text message after the break and head on up to the top of the hour. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back.